to the pastor of this great church, Dr. Compton Ross, to our first elder, Dr. Delcedi Callens, and to all the ministers and to the deacons, and to all my brothers and my sisters, I greet you in the magnificent name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Truly, it is the Sabbath day. And I don't plan to be before you long. I have been given a time. And so we're going to let Jesus take the wheel. Amen. I'm in Acts that you would please stand with me and turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Chronicles, the book of 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. When you have it, please say amen. And I'm only going to read verse 15, and it says, "And he said, Hearken ye, all Judea, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus said the Lord unto you, Be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but is the Lord's." You may be seated. For a few moments of your time, I would like to talk on the subject, the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's. The year was 1993. Yolanda Adams wrote a song, and she said in those lyrics, "There is no pain Jesus can't feel. There is no hurt that he can't heal. For all things work, yes they do, according to the master's purpose and his holy will. No matter what you are going through, remember that God only wants a chance to use you, for this battle is not yours, but it's the Lord." Can I get a witness? She went on to say, "There's no sadness Jesus can't feel. There's no sorrow that the master is not able and willing to heal. Remember, all things work together for the good of them who love God and are called according to his purpose." There are three things I want to leave with you, three things. Number one is pray. Pray. How do you pray? When you pray, some of us, we have to pray without ceasing. We have to pray going down on our knees, knowing that it's going to be good when it all comes out, knowing that God is with us through our bad, knowing that God is with us when we can't find food to eat, knowing that God is with us when things not going our way. But I'm come to tell you today that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up. Can I get a witness in here? Number two, you have to position yourself. You have to put yourself in a certain predicament, knowing that you will have it good when it all comes out. For this battle is not yours, it is the Lord. Sometimes we don't position ourselves in the right situation. Sometimes we have doubts. Sometimes we have fears. We don't believe that God can. But if you put all your trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. I believe that. Number three, we have to praise. We have to praise. David said in Psalms 34, "I will bless the Lord at all times, for his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad." Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And what are we going to do? We're going to exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my doubts and fears. Can I get a witness in here? We have to praise. We have to believe that God can change our battle into blessings. We have to believe that this work that we're trying to fight, God can make a way out of no way. So my brothers and my sisters, we see that blessings come to them that wait upon the Lord. And as I prepare to go to my seat to allow the other two gentlemen to come up, I want you to know that the battle has already been won. Some may ask, how has the battle been won? Well, I want you to know that the battle was won on Calvary's cross. And my brothers and my sisters, I cannot leave you without going to Calvary. Calvary, oh, Calvary. It happened one Friday evening. They put my Lord on an old rugged cross. Can I get a witness that one Friday evening he died? But I'm so glad that's not how the story ends. But 3 days later, he got up with all power in his hand. Not just some power and not just half power, but the Bible that I read says he had all power and authority in his hands. And I'm so glad this morning that trouble don't last all ways. And some preachers may stop right there and say that he got up, but I come to let you know this morning, he's coming back for you and for me. Elder Sellers sang the hymn, sometimes when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all sing and shout the victory. I'm so glad this morning that God is coming back. And some of you are looking at me crazy, but I come to let you know that through my thick and through my thin, God always make a way out of no way. Through my faults, God will fight your battles. God will be there for you. God will fight your battles. I'm so glad that the blood will never lose its power. I'm so glad that it reaches to the highest mountain. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ is a way out of no way. I'm so glad that I got a home over the mountains. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm so glad that he covers me with his blood. I'm so glad that Christ Jesus is the way for me. I'm so glad that as a young black man, I can stand here today and testify to you that God is a good God, and he's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I got a home over the mountain, and my soul has got to move. There's a leak in this old building, and my soul, I come to let you know that the Lord has many mansions prepared for us. And one day, we're going to leave up out of this old rugged building. One of these days, you don't have to worry about your light bill being paid. One of these days, you don't have to worry about rent. One of these days, you don't have to worry about your car note. But they that wait
Well, Keelan. I am reading in your hearing. I'm reading Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you, was crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain, therefore he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? May the Lord bless the readers, hearers, and doers of his holy word. Amen.
Good afternoon, church. Can you hear me? Good. Sometimes in ministry, there is a change in your plan. And what you heard just a few moments ago in terms of our scripture has been changed. I believe the Lord is leading and guiding in a different direction. And so with that being said, I want to direct you, if you've got your Bibles, to the Old Testament book of Psalm, the 46th chapter. And I really want to look at verses 1 through 3. Psalm, the 46th chapter, and verses 1 through 3. I will read in your hearing from the NIV version, and the record says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. That's enough right there, actually. My subject this afternoon is simply safety in uncertain times. Safety in uncertain times. God, we know that your Spirit is in this place. We pray that you would linger here just a little while longer. Speak to your people in spite of this instrument chosen. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Safety in uncertain times. Throughout Scripture, we often see that the life of the Christian has been depicted as a series of battles. Now, in these depictions, there is nothing that suggests that young people are exempt from the battle. In fact, let me just pause right here to tell young people that it is true that Satan has placed a bullseye on your backs as well. Life is a struggle for young people. And I would go as far as to say that these are some of the most difficult times to be young and in the church. And that's why it's important that we have youth day programs such as this one that will help our young people to not only personalize their faith, but live it out as well. Our young people, they are citizens in a very weird society. It is a society where truth is regarded as fake news, and fake is accepted for truth. They live in a world where wrong has become right, and right is viewed as wrong. They live in a world where they spend more time talking about school shootings than they do schoolwork and honor roll. They've got peers who would rather turn up than turn out for divine worship. Many of our young people, they know more about Beyonce and Jay-Z and Future and Snoop Dogg than they do Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're living in a world where a good song on the radio is dope, and the place you want to be is the joint. I know I just lost some of you old folk there. But for our young people, Christ has gotten lost in their lives, and they now possess a blurred vision of Jesus and how to live their lives. Satan has pulled out all of the stops in an effort to get our youth. They are in a battle. And so I go back to our scripture this morning, and in that passage of scripture, the writers take time to remind us, those of us who are in battle, that God is always there to help you. He'll be there to provide refuge, security, and peace. These writers remind us that God has complete power, and his victory is certain. Somebody ought to be glad that this battle is not yours. You ought to be glad that it's the Lord's. Our scripture is fitting for a time such as this one in which we live. For it lets us know that even when the very earth underneath your feet is moved, that God is not moved. This scripture lets us know that even though the very mountains in your life are shaken, God is unshaken. The scripture lets us know that when everything and everyone around you fails, that God yet still stands. He is our refuge. And one of the things that I wanted to impart to these young people today is that there's some things you've got to have if you're going to survive the battlefield. The first of those things, and I only have three and time is fleeting, but the first of those three is you've got to have a place of refuge. In order to win any battle, you've got to have a safe place to rest, to recoup, and a place to think. You need a place that will shield you in the very midst of calamity. And so Psalm 91 and verse 4 says that he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Young people, the truth is still the password that opens the gate to God's refuge. We're living in a time where people no longer have an appetite for what is true or for what is right. But God's word, I believe, is still the most effective shield to quench the fiery darts of Satan. God's word is still what is needed to blunt the sword of Satan. Our young people need to keep their eyes on Christ at all times. As soon as you take your eyes off Christ is the moment that you will be duped and you will become vulnerable to those who have an agenda that is contrary to God's word. As you go back to school over the next couple of days and as you go off to college, remember to stick to the truth. Stick to the truth. The word says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. And then later in the same chapter, the writer proclaims that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You got to stick to the truth, young people, in order to negotiate this battle. I was thinking last night about how it is true that a baby will put anything in its mouth. And one of the reasons that a baby will put anything in its mouth is because it is immature. And we've got far too many young people who are accepting things that are wrong and things that are unbiblical without ever assessing them along the words of God. We've got to be spiritually mature. And the only way you can become spiritually mature is by God's word and by his grace. And so my advice to you is to ground yourself in this gospel. The second thing you've got to do here is harness his power. Our scripture said this morning that not only was he our refuge, but he's also our strength. Now, what's the application for you, young people? Well, I'm glad you asked. The application is there is no need for you to face the battles of life on your own unlimited strength when you have God's strength at your disposal. You see, we have access to God's power as we battle our way through life's struggle. This power that we have at our disposal is the same disposal that God demonstrated at creation. It is the very same power that he demonstrated at the Red Sea. It's the same power that he demonstrated at the tomb of Lazarus. It's the same power that he used and demonstrated at the prison cell of Paul. But more and above that, it's the same power that God used to raise Christ from the dead. Week after week, month after month, here in the Ephesus church, we've preached the truth. We've preached the crucifixion of Jesus Christ so that you can see it and understand it for yourself. On Calvary, some magnificent things were accomplished. He substituted his life for yours. He atoned for your sins and my sins on the cross. And he got the victory there as well. And what that really means is, whatever it is you're struggling with, young people, it's already been defeated. God has already given you the ultimate victory. And sin is a conquered foe. And so when I think back to Calvary, one of the things that Jesus said, three mere words, but they've got a whole lot of significance attached to them. He said, "It is finished." Well, what was he talking about? There's so much there. The work of redemption and the work of salvation was completed. And he proclaimed, "It is finished." You need to understand that Jesus is one who finishes what he starts. He's a little different than man because man leaves things incomplete and undone. But God doesn't operate like that. Indulge me for a moment. Geoffrey Chaucer's The Canterbury Tales is a literary work that is incomplete. I doubt it's going to be completed, because Chaucer is dead. The Cathedral of St. John in Manhattan, one of the largest cathedrals in the world, was started in 1892, and yet it's incomplete. Mozart's Requiem is incomplete. Raphael's painting, Transfiguration, is incomplete. Samuel Taylor Coleridge's Kubla Khan is incomplete. Man leaves things incomplete, but the child of God should be able to rejoice and be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So salvation is in his hands, and there's nothing you can do to add on to what Christ has already done for you, young people. When he says it's finished, that's exactly what he means. You can't augment it. You can't substitute it. You can't take anything from it. It is finished. And it's finished not so much because of what you bring to the table. It's finished because of what God brought to the table and what he brings to the table. I declare to you that what this world needs is more young people that are willing to take this life-saving, life-changing message to a dying world that is trying to do battle on its own. On its own. A few weeks ago, I was at a conference with some young people, and during the icebreaker, We had them lined up based on the number of Instagram followers they had. And these kids were 14 and 15. And the young man that was on my end was toward the end of the line, and I said, well, how many Instagram followers do you have? He said, 2,500. I'm 48. I don't know 2,500 people. I began to think about how he has access to 2,500 people, and he can say something to them in a matter of seconds electronically. How he could take that device that is designed to be used socially and use it spiritually. And he's got access to a crowd of folk that we old folk can't reach. There's a ministry I'm trying to get you to see, young people, that only you can do. There's a ministry that's best suited for you and the kinds of things that you do in life. Well, I just have a few more moments, and I just want to close going back to my seat with the last part of that scripture in Psalm 46, verse 1, which says that he is an ever-present help. An ever-present help. And I'm going to need the parents of some of these young people who are here to sort of kind of help me bring home this piece, because young people sometimes might not be able to testify to it to the same degree. You got to be able to accept God's help when you're in battle and when you're on the battlefield. Have faith that God will help you. You see, when you abide in Jesus, you will begin to see spiritual growth and maturity. For many of us, for all of us, God is still working on the program, and none of us have it all together, even though we like to act like we do from time to time. But the truth is, by abiding in God and by his grace, we're getting better and better each passing day because he's helping us. You can't figure it out on your own. You can't get it together on your own. You can't straighten it out on your own. The only way you can get it together, you've got to take the help from God. I just need somebody who can help me to testify here that God will help you. Will he not? Won't he send a check when you need one? Won't he open a door when you need one? Won't he make a way when there is no way? Won't he send somebody who'll do for you what you need to have done? Won't he work your problems out? Won't he solve them? Won't he heal you when you're sick? Won't he straighten out your bad relationship? Won't he do it? God will help you if you'll just ask him, young people. And if you're going to deal with the battle, you've got to recognize that you need a refuge. And God is that refuge. You've got to harness the power that God gives you to live above sin in this sinful world. And you've got to take the help that he's willing to give you.
I'll be reading from 1 Samuel 17, verses 47 through 50. All the people gathered here will know that the Lord doesn't need swords or spears to save people. The battle belongs to the Lord, and he will help us defeat all of you. Goliath and the Philistine started to attack David. He slowly walked closer and closer toward David, but David ran right out to meet Goliath. David took out a stone from his bag. He put it in his sling and swung the sling. The stone flew from the sling and hit Goliath right between the eyes. The stone sank deep into his head, and Goliath fell to the ground, face down. So David defeated the Philistine with only a sling and one stone. He hit the Philistine and killed him. David didn't have a sword. May the Lord bless the readers, hearers, and the doers of his word.
you. After those two gentlemen, I feel we should go home on a high note. Note to self, never speak after Elder Crum or Elder Burden. Thank you, Samuka, for your willing spirit in reading my scripture text this morning. Happy Sabbath. Happy Youth Day. And I'd like to take the opportunity to wish my first daughter a very happy birthday. Happy birthday, Sierra. So I have a disclaimer before I get started. One, I'll be reading from the ERV. And up until today, up until a couple weeks ago, I didn't know there was an ERV, but that's the easy read version. Easy to read version. After all, it is Youth Day. Two, disclaimer number two, I am not a preacher. I'm sure my dad would have loved it if that was the course that I took, however. And I had it written down that I know my parents are watching online. If you do notice the screens today, we have no video. So when I got to church this morning, I was sorely disappointed because I spent about 45 minutes on the phone with my parents, walking them through how to get to the site and watch the video. And unfortunately, they won't be able to do that. So please pray for me. However, I'm thankful for the opportunity. So in my hand, I have here three sermons. I have a $100 sermon that lasts for 5 minutes, a $50 sermon that lasts for 15 minutes, and a $10 sermon that lasts for a full hour. So now I'd like the deacons to come up and let's take an offering. No, I'm just joking. A man dies and is met by Peter at the pearly gates. Peter says, "You need 100 points to make it into heaven. Tell me all of the good things you've done, and I'll give you a certain number of points for each one, depending on how good it was. When you reach 100 points, you get in." "Okay," the man says. "Well, I was married to the same woman for 50 years and never cheated on her, even in my heart." "That's wonderful," says Peter. "That's worth 3 points. 3 points, the man exclaims. "Well, I attended church all of my life and supported its ministry with my tithe and service." "Terrific," says Peter. "That's certainly worth 1 point. 1 point? Okay. "Well, I started a soup kitchen in my city and worked in a shelter for the homeless." "Fantastic. That's good for 2 more points, Peter says. 2 points? The man cries. "At this rate, the only way I'll get into heaven is by the grace of God." Peter said, "Come on in." Let us pray. Dear Jesus, please use me. Amen. The topic of my message today is "The bigger they are, the harder they fall." The King James Version dictionary definition of giant is: one, a man of extraordinary bulk and stature, and two, a person of extraordinary strength or powers, bodily or intellectual. There are many examples of actual giants that we can reference. We all know the story of David and Goliath. Any wrestling fans out there? Roderick, are you there? Samuka? I caught the wrestling bug in the late 70s, early 80s, when the WWF, or World Wrestling Federation, used to broadcast on TV on Saturday nights at midnight. One legendary battle was between the immortal Hulk Hogan and the eighth wonder of the world, Andre the Giant. Other modern day giants include basketball player Manute Bol, who was 7'7". Back to wrestling again, the great Khalil. And who can forget Ali versus Frazier, and many more giants. What are the giants in your lives? Notice that I said what instead of who. Giants don't have to be people. We all have giants. For adults, our giants include the giant stack of bills, the mortgage, the car note, the student loans from 20 years ago. How about the government, ICE, Internal Revenue Service, that tyrant boss at your job? Now, Jeff, I was going to say, if you're watching this video, let me be clear, I'm not talking about you. And everyone does know Jeff is my boss, and he's a terrific boss, so I'm not talking about him. How about the red tape you have to go through when you're trying to get something done, and not just at work or in the community? Yes, there is red tape in the church also. For the youth, we know you have giants in your life. To tell the truth, your giants are probably bigger than we ever could imagine. You see, parents, the giants we face when we were young are minuscule in comparison to the giants that the youth face today. The modern world and technology have magnified their giants to an enormous size, way beyond our imagination. The giants that the youth face: peer pressure, drugs, pedophilia. I recently saw a TED Talk online noting that it was acceptable to be attracted to children, as you can see on the screen. We live in an evil world. Social media, sexting, bullying, cursing. When we were growing up, people cursed around you, and some of you probably cursed right back. But think back, you never heard it on TV at first, but slowly, after a while, you heard it on the premium cable channels, and you thought, okay, well, that's premium, there's limited access. And then one day, it became the norm, even on the local channels. It is now acceptable. How do you expect the youth not to do something that they see and hear every day, everywhere, even at home? In the book of 1 Samuel, the giant was the mighty Philistine Goliath. In verse 4 through 7, it reads, "The Philistine army had a champion fighter named Goliath, who was from Gath. He was over 9 feet tall. Goliath came out of the Philistine camp. He had a bronze helmet on his head. He wore a coat of armor that was made like the scales on a fish. The armor was made of bronze and weighed about 125 pounds. Goliath wore bronze protectors on his legs. He had a bronze javelin tied to his back. The wooden part of his spear was as big as a weaver's rod. The spear's blade weighed 15 pounds. Don't we all feel like this some mornings when we wake up? Except on Sabbath mornings, of course. Just the entire weight of the world on your shoulders. Youth, that bully in second period seems bigger every day. Another day of telling you that you are nobody. Another day of the popular kids laughing at you. Another day of sitting by yourself in the cafeteria or playing by yourself at recess. What bigger giant could there be? Some of you wives or girlfriends, you just dread having to go home at the end of every day, or dread your husband or boyfriend coming home after having a bad day and taking out his frustration on you. The verbal abuse, the emotional abuse, the physical abuse. Those giants are enormous. It reads in verse 8, "Every day for 40 days, Goliath would challenge the Israelite soldiers. Every day for 40 days, Goliath made fun of the army of Israel. He laughed at them. He mocked them. And what did Israelite soldiers do? 1 Samuel 17, verse 11 says, Saul and the Israelites' soldiers heard what Goliath said, and they were afraid. Isn't that what we tend to do when we face our giants? When you have that big chemistry test, do you put up the white flag to surrender? That test's going to be hard. It doesn't even matter if I study or not. You see all your friends smoking and drinking, and I dare say, if they are smoking and drinking, why are they even your friends? There is an old saying, watch the company that you keep. Also, birds of a feather flock together. They're all doing it. I'm not going to be the odd one out or look soft. Oh, the giant called peer pressure is a mighty giant. But I digress. Verse 16 reads, the Philistine came out every morning and evening and stood before the Israelite army. Goliath insulted Israel like this for 40 days. Every day for 40 days, the sun would slowly rise over the horizon at Soko in Judah. The Philistine army gathered together and lined up on one hill, ready for battle. Saul and the Israelites' soldiers gathered and lined up on the other side of the valley, on the other hill. Every day for 40 days, the Israelites stood there, knees a-knocking, legs a-trembling, teeth a-chattering, sweat streaming down their face. I'm sure a few of them even wet themselves a few days in fear of the mighty giant. Verse 17 reads, one day, Jesse said to his son David, take this basket of cooked grain and the 10 loaves of bread to your brothers in the camp. Skip to verse 22. David left the food with the man who kept supplies. Then he ran up to the place where the Israelite soldiers were and asked about his brothers. Ah, the innocence of youth. Fresh perspective, fresh ideas, courage to face the known, boldness to face the unknown. We certainly need the mindset of the youth when facing some of our giants. There is a huge push for diversity and inclusion in corporate America. If only the church would embrace diversity and inclusion when selecting its board members or department leaders. You see, church, if you don't have the insight and fresh perspective of the youth in your decision-making process, it's very likely they won't be around for whatever you decide to do because you didn't include them and you didn't plan for them. Let me break it down some more. Do you ever watch CNN or MSNBC? And let me not forget Fox News. It's funny. As I get older, I find myself doing more and more things like my parents and some of the seasoned folk. You know what I'm talking about. You go to your grandma's house or your uncle's house. Depending on the day of the week, they're either watching Breaking News with Wolf Blitzer, or 3ABN with Doug Batchelor, or Breath of Life with Walter Pearson. Don't laugh at them. I know for a fact that they got it right. There are way too many channels on TV, too much garbage on TV, too many distractions, and I have to confess, I'm guilty of watching a lot of the crap that's on TV. Young and old, we need to watch what we are allowing to enter our minds. So, let me get back to my original point. You're watching a press conference, and the president is sitting at the table with his staff. Do you ever sit and wonder, what's wrong with this picture? I'll tell you what. Everyone looks the same. Yeah, that's part of the problem. The other issue is the president is surrounded by a bunch of yes men. How can you affect real change that takes you to the next level without having people around you, perhaps giving you a different way of looking at things? Youth, young adults, this applies to you as well. All of your so-called friends don't have your best interests in heart. Guys, do you think your boys care if you get an STD after they convince you to sleep with the girl that has been with the football team? And girls, will your BFFs visit you in the hospital after you overdose on that one ecstasy pill that you took at the party and you end up in the hospital on a ventilator? Yes, even for you, take advantage of opportunities to be around your parents, around your teachers, around an elder, someone with some common sense who will tell you how life really is. The problem we all have is that we prefer to be around people who agree with us and not around those who will challenge us to think differently. Let's get back to the word. In verse 26, David asked the man standing next to him, "What did he say? What is the reward for killing this Philistine and taking away this shame from Israel? Who is this Goliath anyway? He's only some foreigner, nothing but a Philistine. Why does he think he can speak against the army of the living God?" You see, young people, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to worry. Worrying only makes you look older faster than you want to. You don't have to be scared, young people. You don't have to feel alone. Because if God is for you, who can be against you? Too many times we discount God's awesomeness. After all, he is all-powerful. Remember, God is. God is the one who made the heavens and the earth. God is the one who made man, who made you, who made me in his image. Casey, you're behind a couple slides. God is the one who delivered the Israelites from the Egyptian captives. God is the one who allowed three Hebrew boys to confidently step into the hot, fiery furnace and casually walk out unscathed and unbothered. God is the one that turned the lions into vegans when Daniel was thrown into their den. God is the one who sent his only son, Jesus, to this wicked earth so that we might have the chance at eternal life. Nothing is impossible with God on our side. The story continues in verse 32 and 33. David said to Saul, "People shouldn't let Goliath discourage them. I am your servant. I will go fight this Philistine." Verse 33, Saul answered, "You can't go out and fight against this Philistine. You're not even a soldier." Anyone familiar with the Allstate commercial Mayhem? Adults, please don't be like Saul. Use every opportunity you can to uplift the youth. Tell them, yes, you can. Encourage them. They face enough negativity day in and day out. Be that one person that smiles when you see them walking in the hallway. Be the one person to tell them they look nice without condemning them for wearing too much makeup. Men, be that one person that offers to take that young boy with no father figure in his life to a ball game or to the car show. Parents, turn off that TV and put down the phone. Spend time with your kids. And don't just tell them that you love them. Show them. Think back to when you were younger. How many times did someone discourage you? Did you feel good about it? I'm sure that David didn't feel good when Saul told him he was just a little boy. Just because people count you out doesn't mean that you are not important to God. While writing this little message, I was in the balcony after church writing, and little Colin Jones came into the sanctuary and did something. I want you to watch this video. Woody, please make sure we have sound for the video. I'm sure the first instinct from most of us would have been to chase Colin out of the sanctuary. But he simply wanted to play the drums to God's glory. And if he wants to, he might be the next great drummer here at Ephesus. All because he wasn't discouraged to play. And you know what? He was actually pretty good. Well, after Saul and David went back and forth, Saul finally relented and said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." It reads in verse 38, "Saul put his own clothes on David. He put a bronze helmet on his head and armor on his body." In verse 39, David put on a sword and tried to walk around. He tried to wear Saul's uniform, but David was not used to all those heavy things. David said to Saul, "I can't fight in these things. I'm not used to them." So David took them all off. Isn't that just like us? We have our old traditions or ways of doing things. And we want other people to do things the way we do. "I always do it this way." Or, "We've always done it this way." "We always sing this song." "We always sing the doxology." Ouch. I'm going to stop right there. I promised Charm and Woody not to go too far in left field. We should not expect everyone to do things that we want them to do. They may not always have a better way, but they have their own way. And get this, their way gets the same end results. Maybe even better results. Here's my point. Today's church is not bringing youth into the church. Today's church is not keeping youth in the church. We have to empower the youth to fight their giants, and not the way we would, but the way the living God leads them to. As we continue the story, now David has made his way to the valley to confront this giant they call Goliath. As he gets closer, he walks by all of those frightened Israelites. I can hear them now. "You fool, Goliath's gonna eat you alive. You're dead meat." Of course, David's not listening to any of them. He's focused on the task at hand. The musicians would come up. We pick the story back up in verse 45, where David says to Goliath, "You come to me using sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, all-powerful, the God of the armies of Israel. You have said bad things about him." Mind you, on the way to the valley to meet Goliath, David picked up 5 smooth stones and put them in the shepherd's bag. And his other hand, he held his slingshot. But that's not all he had. Praise the Lord. As David made his way past the scared Israelite army, shaking in their boots, little David stood tall with broad shoulders and a pep in his step. I can see him now, just smiling and strutting. Because he knew if no one else did, that God was on his side. While he was only a young teen, probably only 125 pounds, soaking wet, compared to the massive 500-pound Goliath, David probably felt as big as the pyramids. Meanwhile, Goliath is increasingly bothered that this puny little boy is taking up his air. In verse 48 to 50, Goliath and the Philistines started to attack David. He slowly walked closer and closer toward David, but David ran out. David ran out to meet Goliath. The stone flew from the sling and hit Goliath right between the eyes. The stone sank deep into his head, and Goliath fell to the ground, face down. So David defeated the Philistine with only a sling and one stone. He hit the Philistine and killed him. The verse ends, David didn't even have a sword. Young people, you can defeat giants with almost anything. David defeated Goliath with five stones and a slingshot. Next slide. We can defeat sin with the blood of Jesus. Video defeated Permit Patty. Video defeated Barbecue Betty. Video defeated even Coupon Carl. Young people, you can defeat the giants in your life also. Just lean on the everlasting arms of Jesus, our Alpha and Omega, our beginning and our end, our Savior and our Lord, our Redeemer and our Protector, our Healer and our Provider, our all in all. Don't be afraid of the giants in your life. It's important to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Talk to him daily. Seek wisdom in his word. I came across this quote recently, and it says, "Don't tell God that you have a problem. Tell your problem that you have a big God." Just remember, you with God on your side, the bigger giants are, the harder giants fall. Thank you.
Change me, oh God. worship you. I need you to
change me.
Change me, Jesus.
Change me.
Oh, like only you can, Lord.
Change me.
Do it for me, Jesus.
Change me.
From heaven today, haven't we? Ephesus has talent. But you know, this was Youth Day, but the speakers were not just speaking to the youth. They were speaking to adults. I think I would be remiss at this point if I don't open the doors of the church. There's someone here you have heard what was said. you see the young people. They have come forward and they have spoken and they have encouraged us. And I know that David, the last sermon about David, David said, he summarized it in Psalm 37, verse 5, where he said, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Is there someone here who would like to take up David's challenge? The challenge of the three young people today. You see the way your life has been going, but you want to make a change. You're not a member, and you would like to be a member of this church. Or you are a member, but you would like to recommit. Let us pray. Oh God, our Father, we thank you for what we have seen and heard today. Oh God, we thank you for these three young men that stood forward boldly and proclaimed your word. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who died on the cross and for the gift of salvation. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You're dismissed.